The visit of the Malachim obviously takes up the early portion of the Parsha, and it carries a lot of very important messages in terms of Hachnasas Orachim and in terms of many of the very important Hashkafic topics in Yiddishkeit. But there is a detail that sneaks into the first Pasuk that, you know, when you think about the story, seems entirely unnecessary. It seems almost tangential. Vayere lo Hashem be'elonei mamrei. That Hashem appears to Avram, that's important. Why is it so important to know where Hashem appeared to Avram? That and who is this person Mamre anyway? So Rashi tells us, that's important. Hu shenasan lo etza alamila lefichach nigler lav bechalko, that he was zochet to this. That Mamre was the person who gave Avram Avinu advice about Mila, and because he's the one that gave Avram Avinu that advice, so he was Zocha that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram Avinu, he's going to do so in his property. But the question begs itself, and it just shifts, I guess. So instead of wondering about who Mamre is, why did Avram need advice about Mila? Meaning, Hashem told him to do it, so you do it. Hashem told him to do Akedas Yitzchak, so he did it. Right? Why does he need advice about Mila? What exactly was that conversation like? He never asked advice about any other mitzvah, and he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula Shelo Nitna. Tosos learns from there that a guy who decides to do mitzvos, who gets schar as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, at least on certain mitzvos. So from the fact that Avram Avinu did that, Tosos seems to assume Avram Avinu had a din of a Ben Noach. But whatever, I mean, the point is, he fulfilled Kol HaTorah Kula just because Hashem wanted it. And certainly when there was a Tzivoy Hashem, he was all more than willing to do it. So the Sifsei Chachamim suggests that Avram was simply asking, should he wait to become mitzvah, or should he volunteer the mitzvah? Because he wasn't going to have another chance to do the mitzvah later. Meaning, this is a mitzvah you only get one shot in your entire life, right, to do mila. So if he does it before, he's mitzvah in it. So he risks never being able to do it as a mitzvah v'yosa. Whereas other mitzvahs, he can continue to volunteer as an eina mitzvah v'yosa, and then if Hashem ever decides to command him in those mitzvahs, he'll be able to continue to do them as a mitzvah v'yosa. So he can keep Shabbos every single week as an eina mitzvah v'yosa, and then ultimately he'll become, if Hashem decides to tell him to keep Shabbos, he'll become mitzvah v'yosa. But by bris mila, you don't have the option. Problem is, if you look at the Medrash, which is the source for Rashi, it doesn't sound like this question was raised by Avram, and this conversation he had with Mamre happened before he was mitzvah in Mila. It sounds like it was after he was mitzvah in Mila, and he needed Eitza. The Medrash tells us as follows, Rabbi Azariah b'shem Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Simon, shehimra panim ba'avram. That who is this Mamre? He was himra panim ba'avram. What does that mean? B'sha'a sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram limal. When Hashem told Avram Avinu, you got to go do a mila, halach v'nimlach b'gimel o'avav. He went to get advice from three close friends. Samrlo Aner, so Aner said to him, Kvar ben kufshana ata. You're 100 years old already. Vata holich mitzaris atzmecha. Who needs, elective surgery at the age of 100? It's not worth it, right? You know, I speak to my grandfather sometimes, about dental work. Well, I'm not. Whatever is temporary, he says. I'm 91 years old, and I'm not going to invest something the dentist tells me it lasts for 20 years. I don't need something that lasts for 20 years. You know, that's the attitude. You're 100 years old already. Now you're going to bother yourself with this kind of thing. So Amalo Eshkol. So Eshkol said to him, he says, why would you want to stick out like a sore thumb amongst all of your enemies? Meaning you're just drawing unwanted attention to yourself. It's going to look strange. Not a good idea. Honor says to him, you don't need it because it's too painful for you to go through at this age. Eshkol says, it's socially going to be strange and difficult to get through this. And then comes along Mamre and he says, Elokecha sha'amadcha b'kifshan ha'esh o b'malachim b'ravon u'adavar hazeh sha'amadcha limol einat ha'shomeyalo. Hashem has been there for you every step of the way. And he brings him back. Remember the kifshan ha'esh. You want to do kifshan ha'esh and you survived because the Kodesh Baruch Hu helped you out. And now you're not going to listen to him? So Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atta Nesata Lo Eitzo Lamul Chayecha She'ini Nigla Lav Lo B'Platon Shal Aner V'Lo B'Platon Shal Eshkol El B'Platon Shalcha. Hashem says, because the other two didn't give this advice and you did, so when I want to reveal when I want to speak to Avraham Avinu, when I want to give him that sense of nevuah and have that conversation with him, it's going to be in your property. So the Medrash is clear that this conversation happened after he was already commanded. So all that is a long way to ask the question, which is, why did Avraham seek advice in the first place? And what's the meaning behind this conversation? So that's question number one. Question number two, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed singles out Bris Milah as a mitzvah that's associated with joy. It's a mitzvah that's associated with an excessive amount of simcha. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Lomer, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem besimcha, kagon milah, that any mitzvah that we were makabel with simcha, like milah, so adayinos noso besimcha. And the Gemara says, how do I know milah was given, was they were makabel with simcha? Tichsiv, sasa nochi alim rasecha, kamosei shalal rav. And that's a reference, at least partially, to milah. So the connection between milah and simcha is there. The Gemara definitely says, milah is like this mitzvah that involves great simcha. The problem is that it seems like a strange connection. It seems difficult to understand why there would be a connection between simcha and mila. In fact, the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Ches tells us that we do not say Shah Simcha b'mona ad bris mila. Why? Because of tsara li yanuka, that there's the baby suffering from pain. You know, imagine if the baby had the opportunity to help plan the party for the bris mila. You know, it's like a kid by his bar mitzvah. You know, you're telling him, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And, you know, he's all excited. Oh, but I like this food. Can we get that food? Yeah, we can get that food. It's cheaper than what we're going to order anyway. You know, whatever the conversation is. And he gets excited, you know. But imagine sitting down with if the baby had the ability to converse with you. It's going to be an awesome party. It's going to be the mornings, you know, milch, exfleish, I don't know. You know, we'll leave that part out. But it's going to be, everyone's going to come. The relatives are going to come. We're going to have a big chashuv talmud chacham that holds you in his warm embrace. Oh, and then, yeah, the kid's gonna be like, "Wait! I'm not interested in that. Let's not have a party associated with that. You know, it doesn't. I've yet to be at a bris where the baby looks up afterwards and says, you know, that really wasn't so bad. that was all right. No, he's always screaming. He's always screaming afterwards. There's sarli yanuka. So how does that associate with simcha? We don't say shechianu at a bris. Why is it, or ashkenazim, why is a bris singled out as a mitzvah that involves this tremendous amount of simcha? So Rabbi Rudinsky, I don't remember if I saw this in his Mishkan Betzalel or I heard it on the Or Reuven app, but Rabbi Betzalel Rudinsky suggests the following. He explained that Avraham Avinu was not chas v'shalom. He was not contemplating ignoring the Tzivoy Hashem. There was no doubt that when Hashem told him to do a mila, he was going to do a mila. That was not even a suffix. It wasn't a question. His suffix was how public he should be about it. Meaning, how big of an event should it be? How much should he let it be known that he's following this Tzivoy Hashem? Because on the one hand, it's a Tzivoy Hashem and it should be celebrated. When a person does the Ratzon Hashem, the Dvar Hashem, that's important, that's chashivos, that should be celebrated. But on the other hand, Avram's reputation was very, very important to his life's mission. Meaning, it was not just for his own good that he have a positive reputation. He was on a mission to try to be makariv people to the Ribono Shalom. And if he looks like a weirdo, no one's going to be interested in listening to what he has to say. And if he's saying, oh, I got this great idea, self-mutilation. Wait, what? That's not going to attract people. It's not going to be... So if he couldn't connect with people, he's not going to be able to fulfill what he was put on this earth to do, what he was trying to accomplish, to spread monotheism. And he was quite excellent at that job. You know, look at the Rambam, he had tens of thousands of followers without any social media presence, without any, without so much as a telephone, to amass those numbers of people. You know what that must, you know, a mega church without any of the, you know, tools that are used today. Without any of the tools that are used today to make such things happen, he was good at this. If he does something that seems barbaric and inexcusable, people might just dismiss him. They might refuse to listen to what he has to say. You know, in those days, if a person did something barbaric and... Well, okay, I'm going to leave this line out. I'll tell you what I wanted to say later. If a person self-mutilates, people will not see holiness. Even if they don't see the act as barbaric, they're just likely to see it as, like, strange. you know, huge celebration for a hemorrhoid surgery. What? Why would that be? You know, this is not. So he gets advice from three people. And the advice that Anar gives him is what there will be pushback. And you're just too old to deal with all the pushback. You may still be able to influence people after a while, and you may overcome it, but who needs that kind of challenge in their way? Who needs that kind of tsar at the age of 100? You got a good thing going, keep it going. Why ruin your momentum? Why create unnecessary challenges? Just keep it a secret. And Eshkol advises him that distinguishing yourself in this way is going to give rise to your enemies, and they want to expose you as an outsider, as someone who shouldn't be listened to, as someone who's leading them down a wrong path. Why would you do that? Why would you give your enemies ammunition, or those who would like to stop your mission, why would you give them the ammunition to be able to stop? But Mamre provided some incredible perspective. He said, you know, think back. This wasn't the only time that you were called upon to do something that was going to ruin your entire life's mission. There was something that was more guaranteed to destroy your entire life's mission than this. What's more guaranteed to destroy your life's mission than this? Well, if you die, then that mission would be over because you were the only one. You were the leader of the movement. When you're gone, the movement is gone. And yet, when it came to the Kivshin Eish, if you would have made such a cheshbon of how do I continue my good work, how do I keep this going, the answer would have been, well, I can't go into that Kivshin Eish because I'm going to die if I do, and then that's it. That will be the death of the idea of monotheism in this world. But what did you do? You did the right thing. You went in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that even though intuitively or logically what you were doing would have worked against you, but if that's the Ratzon Hashem, that's what you do. If that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it, that's, and Hashem will figure out how it not only won't work against you, it will dafka work for you. What should have ended his entire Kiruv career and his life turned out to be a defining moment. It became one of the defining moments of the movement. It galvanized Avraham Avinu to spread the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and brought his work to a new level because people heard about this. So now it was an important step. So says Mamre, don't cheshbin it on a level of what kind of challenges will this put in my path. Whatever challenges it puts in your path, that's not your cheshbin. Your cheshbin is, what does Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? And then you can trust that Kadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that it's going to work out properly. That's what they say, the Vart from the Gra, that we say in Shemoneh Esrei every day, Hashem is Melech Ozer Moshia Umagen. But then we say Magen Avram. That it's a bracha about all the avos, but only Magen at the end and only Avram at the end. He's Ozer, Moshia, Magen, it's only Magen Avram. So they say the Vart from the Gra, that Ozer means that when I'm doing something that requires Hishtadlus and Hashem helps that my Hishtadlus bears fruit. You know, I want to become an excellent guitar player, so I practice guitar 2 hours every single night. Whatever I put in my 10,000 hours, my Malcolm Gladwell hours or whatever, and for those who are familiar, and then Akadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that I'm, you know, that I'm successful, that I'm matzliach. So that's Ozer. Moshia is, I have no control over the situation whatsoever. There's no establish that I can do. I took a blood test, and I don't know what the results are going to be. That's Moshia. And Magen is that it seems that Hashem is asking me to do something that's going to work against me. It's not going to work out. But Hashem says, don't worry. You do what you're supposed to do. And then it will work out. And that's Magen Avram. Avram Avinu is the one who represents the level of bitachon of a Magen. So while all the others obviously have bitachon, that's what we highlight in the Shemoneh Esrei. But I just want to make one more point over here. You know, how exactly does it work out that Bris Milah is inspiring rather than off-putting? You know, it does single us out. It does seem, for those, you know, it's hard to explain. In all those, in San Francisco or in places in Europe where they try to outlaw Mila, they try to outlaw circumcision, you know, with new evidence that the medical community wavers back and forth, right? Meaning to say, oh, we should do it because medically A, B, and C, someone else will come and say, no, medically it's actually D, E, and F, and therefore it doesn't make any sense to do it anymore. It's hard to explain why one would want to do it other than the Word of God. right? So how exactly does it work that helped Avram Avinu in some way? How did it like actually play out? And I think that the idea of Mila, Sefer HaChinuch writes, the idea of Mila is, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made man perfect, but he wanted man to make man perfect. V'lo bra'o shalei mibeten. Hashem didn't create man complete from the womb. Lirmo zeilav ki kasher tashlum tzuras gufa val yado, kein biyado lahashlum tzuras nafsho behechsher pulosav. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, the message of Mila is that just like you physically have to make yourself complete, make yourself better, so too you have to improve yourself, and you can. You're capable of improving yourself. You can become better. That's the message of Mila. That's a very, very empowering message. Meaning people aren't looking for the easiest thing, the easiest way out, because easy gets boring. And easy is not at all fulfilling. People are okay with schwitzing. People are okay with yisurin. But there's got to be a payoff. They have to know that they can become better. There's a difference between a mitzvah that's easy and a mitzvah that's joyous. The mitzvah of Mila is a mitzvah of simcha. We experience joy when we push ourselves to become better. We experience joy when we become greater. When you feel, what do they call it in psychology? Flow, right? Is there any psychology people here? Anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So when a person is the lands are back. When something with an education. So when a person is experiencing flow. When a person is like in when he feels that his entire potential is being maximized. That he's being challenged and he's stepping up to the challenge. That's what gives a person simcha. Sitting back and just not having any that doesn't give a person any simcha. So unless you think that people can't connect with that type of simcha, Hashem tells Avram, the Mila is going to be the only mitzvah that both of your children are going to claim as their own. They're going to be fighting over that mitzvah. The easiest mitzvah to pass along to your children, when the children see, and it's such a big yisod, when children see their parents are willing to fight for something, they're willing to sacrifice for something, they're willing to work, they're willing to schwitz a little bit, they'll know that that's a worthwhile endeavor. They'll know that that's something that's worth it. I have a friend who sponsored a sefer that Art Scroll put out at some point, one of the volumes of the Mishnayos. And this guy, he does a lot of good, but he doesn't like his name anywhere. Like he's pretty mocked that his name not be anywhere. And Art Scroll doesn't do that, right? Meaning there's no anonymous in Art Scroll. It's not like the anonymous edition of Talmud Bavli. It's the Schottenstein edition of Talmud Bavli. Meaning, and it's on the front cover, right? That's the, I remember when I was on NCSY Kol many years ago, Rabbi Benevitz said, there was one of the Schottensteins was on the Kol. So he said, the kid with his name on the front of his Gemara, that's Leah. So that's just not the way they do it. Meaning, so this fellow was very hesitant about it. So he spoke to Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz, at the time, and he said, I'm just not interested in my name being there. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, well, the Kabbalah I have from Ramesha is that it's dafka most important that you have your name there, because our experiences, he says, when a family dedicates a volume of Torah, their children hold that volume so dear to them. Meaning they view that as like that's their family's chelek in Torah. They know that their family, that's theirs. When parents give themselves over to a mosad and they work yomam v'layla to help, it that gets passed on. That becomes like a legacy in a family. So that the mitzvah of Mila represents that you can become better, not through things being easy. You become better through challenges, through things that are difficult, through things that are tzarali yanuka. And that's how the baby becomes complete. That's how the baby becomes will grow and will improve. And the immediate aftermath of the Bris Mila, who comes to be machnia themselves, Avram Avinu, to Malachim, because Malachim can't hold a candle to that. Malachim are omdim. We're Mahalachim. They're not able to improve. It's such a powerful message in terms of going into Chinuch and Rabbanus. Sometimes, especially in Chinuch, I'll tell you, a lot of times people think that like, if you don't demand too much from the kids, you don't demand too much from them, then they'll like you, you'll be popular, and then you'll be able to be mashpia. The opposite is true. if you don't demand from them, they're not going to feel like they're accomplishing anything. If they don't feel like they're accomplishing anything, they're not going to be happy. And they're not going to have any respect for what you're doing. But if there are demands, obviously done in a pleasant way, and not just being mean-spirited, so sometimes, like, you know, there are people involved in the teaching profession that shouldn't be. They just hate kids and try to torture them. But no, but coming from a place of love. But you know, with real demands, with real, you know, because why? Because you can be better, because you can do more. That's the most powerful message that a person can receive. I think I've mentioned to you guys in the past that I don't know if I did or not. But when Rav Moshe Weinberger spoke in my shul a number of years ago, the way I introduced him was by saying that, I don't know if he appreciated it or not, but the way I introduced him is I said that everyone thinks, oh, his big contributions that he introduced Hasidus to the modern Orthodox community. I hold that's not his big contribution. That's not his biggest contribution. His biggest contribution is that he took a bunch of 30, 40, 50-year-olds and told them, you're not done growing. You could still improve. You could still grow more. That's a much bigger contribution as far as I'm concerned. Meaning to tell people that that empowers people, that you can still be better. You can always grow. And that's what Mila represents, and that's what Avraham Avinu teaches us. There are growing pains, but there should always be growth. Okay.